Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Trish reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. Education. Midland ISD to start with at-home instruction. District to start on August 19th with remote learning for 4 weeks. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N at HEARSTNP.com. Midland ISD's year will start with at least 4 weeks of at-home learning for all students. That was the announcement Monday as the district updated parents, students, and staff about the opening of the 2020-21 school year. During the meeting on Monday, the district reported that there were 2,179 COVID-19 cases inside Midland County at the end of July, including 790 confirmed cases over the past 2 weeks, the highest two-week period during the pandemic. Midland ISD learned in conversations with health officials from Midland Memorial Hospital and the Midland Health Department that Midland has a more than 21% positive test rate, comparable to Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio, according to the district. Ector County has 3,287 positive cases and a positive test rate of above 30%. Infectious disease experts recommend both a local positive case rate of less than 5% and a 14-day decline in positive case counts as conditions for safely reopening schools, according to MISD. Not only did Midland ISD officials take the information that indicated a high level of community spread, but it also had information that showed more than 66% of the 2,082 MISD staff responding to a survey are either extremely concerned at 39.4% or moderately concerned at 27.1% with the impact of COVID-19 in relation to on-campus learning and working environments. It also showed 65.2% of 2,086 responding staff would support a fully virtual launch to the school year. Of the 13,690 responses from families, more than 50.6% are interested in a full-time virtual learning option. Midland ISD Chief of Staff Katie Atkins told the Reporter Telegram on Monday that after 4 weeks, the district can submit a waiver with board approval requesting that the Texas Education Agency extend at-home learning an additional 4 weeks. Given the level of COVID-19 transmission in our community, we will start the school year at home for the health and safety of our students, staff, and community. Superintendent Orlando Riddick stated in a press release, "Our staff has worked tirelessly this summer to ensure learning would occur this fall, no matter the status of COVID-19 in Midland." At-home instruction will not impact extracurricular activities, officials said. Atkins said that the decision announced Monday was going to make some people unhappy, but that the district didn't want to put its students, staff, or the community at risk. She said that the coronavirus is not just the flu. Atkins said teachers report back to school next week, but there is no timeline for parents and students. She said students and parents received texts and emails about Monday's decision and expects texts and emails from campus leadership to continue. Midland ISD reported Monday that instruction will be facilitated through Google Classroom, and technology such as Google Chromebooks and Wi-Fi hotspots will be available to families as needed. Families can request learning technology and Wi-Fi hotspots through their campus. During at-home instruction, students will learn remotely and staff will report to campuses. The district will provide grab-and-go meals with the summer meal program continuing through August 31st. At-home instruction is one of three learning models the district has created in preparation for the school year. On-campus instruction is modeled on traditional in-classroom learning, and blended learning instruction sees students rotate between face-to-face instruction and at-home learning. The district is also offering the Midland ISD Online Academy, a 100% virtual instructional option for families. Applications opened Monday at Apply Midland. Students enrolled in the online academy will still have a seat reserved for them at their home school should their family decide to re-enroll them in on-campus learning, the district stated. Commentary. MC is gradually reopening its doors by President Steve Thomas Midland College. Over the past 4 months, the uncertainty of the spread of COVID-19 has resulted in decisions that changed the way Midland College employees work and engage with students in the community. During that time, we made tremendous efforts to ensure that classes and services were still available to current students, potential students, and the community in online and virtual environments. Throughout the 4 months that Midland College's buildings were closed, we remained only one call, email, instant message, or video call away. After working through the summer to implement health and safety protocols following guidelines from the governor's office, the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board, and the Center for Infectious Disease Control, MC is beginning to gradually reopen its doors. Fall semester classes begin on August 24th. Approximately 70% of our fall course offerings will be online or hybrid, a combination of face-to-face and online. We will, however, offer a limited number of face-to-face lecture classes, as well as hands-on classes and training in the health sciences and applied technology areas. We will employ stringent social distancing and cleaning measures in these classes. Face masks and cleaning protocol. Midland College is very concerned about the safety of students, employees, and visitors. Face masks are required inside all Midland College buildings and outside in groups of three or more. Students attending face-to-face classes during the fall semester are required to wear face masks at all times when in classrooms and buildings. All classrooms and labs will be cleaned daily using CDC-recommended products and methods. In addition, alcohol wipes and other cleaning products will be available for instructor and student use in classrooms and labs. Hand sanitizing stations are also being placed throughout buildings. Departments to open. All registration services are available remotely or by appointment, and we are currently accepting applications for the fall semester. Prospective students should contact Enrollment Navigation Department at enroll@midland.edu or call 685-4501 to schedule an appointment. Staff in the Financial Aid, Advising, Testing Center, Student Records, and Cashier departments are also available by appointment. These departments will open on Monday. To limited foot traffic, appointments are still preferred. Bookstore. Midland College Bookstore, located in the Scarber Student Center, opened on July 27th at 50% capacity. Students who need to purchase books and other supplies are able to do so. For more information, call 685-4546 or visit MidlandCollegeBookstore.com. Campus Dining. The beautiful new June and Frank Cowden Jr. Dining Hall will open on August 24th. Eating areas will be arranged to accommodate social distancing as much as possible and with a limited seating capacity. Student Assistance. During the pandemic, Midland College continues to assist students through the College's Support Our Students, SOS, program, as well as federal dollars through the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, CARES. We know that it is difficult for students to concentrate on studies while having to deal with decreases in wages and employment. Please visit midland.edu/SOS for more information about ways we assist students who are struggling to make ends meet. We are anxious to get started with the fall semester, ever mindful of the fact that we do so in the midst of a public health crisis that presents many challenges to keep our students, employees, and the community safe. But we are here for you. Weather. NWS 100 degree heat returns to forecast. By Stuart Doreen. The National Weather Service in Midland is expecting at least 6 straight days of 100-degree temperatures beginning today. The NWS reported Monday that the high temperature could reach 104 today and Wednesday, starting a string of triple-digit temperatures that is expected to continue through at least Sunday. The NWS reports 104 degrees is the record for both August 4th and August 5th at Midland International Airport. The hot weather continues the trend for Midland. The NWS reports the 87.4 degree average temperature in July was the second highest for a July in Midland and the fifth warmest month in Midland's recorded history. The heat streak included seven straight days with high temperatures at or above 105 degrees, the second longest straight in Midland, according to the National Weather Service. The Climate Prediction Center is calling for a 33 to 50% change of above average temperatures in the region. The National Weather Service reported it was not only hot, but was also dry at Midland International. The 0.01 inch of precipitation was the seventh least on record for a July in Midland. That total may differ from what Midlanders received inside city limits. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows severe drought conditions in the region. Records in July. Second hottest month of July, fifth hottest month of all time. Second most consecutive days of 105 degree heat at 7. Tied for the fifth most consecutive days of 100 degree heat, 11. Tied for ninth most 100 degree days, 16. The seventh driest month of July. P&Z helps clear way for apartment complex. By Mella McEwen, MMCEWEN at MRT.com. Planning and Zoning Commissioners voted Monday to help a company cut through red tape in its quest to develop an apartment complex in Southeast Midland. At Monday's Planning and Zoning Commission online, commissioners unanimously approved a request by Landgraf Crutcher and Associates for a zone change from MF16, Multiple Family Dwelling in Part, MH, Manufactured Housing District in Part, RR, Regional Retail District in Part, and BP, I-20 Business Park District, to MF22, Multiple Family Dwelling District. The applicant had requested the zone change to bring the 19.17-acre tract at east of Lamesa Road between Lauda Street and Interstate 20 under one zoning district. The site, currently raw land, would house 342 units in three-story buildings. There would be 120 one-bedroom, one-bathroom units, 84 two-bedroom, two-bath units, and 18 three-bedroom, two-bath units, and 120 studio or micro units. Storage space would be offered within the garage buildings. Amenities include a clubhouse, swimming pool, and dog park. Commissioners also unanimously approved a request by Maverick Engineering for a zone change from PD, Planned Development District, for an office and shopping center as a transition district to RR, Regional Retail District, in order to develop a retail facility at 2600 Loma Drive. Kesha Kidd received unanimous approval for her request for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premise consumption in a special event center in Imperial Shopping Center at 3211 West Wadley Avenue. Kidd explained that she is the lessee for a 4,000-square-foot space in the shopping center but sublets 1,100 square feet to the Golden Whisk Bakery. Her application would be limited to the remaining 2,900 square feet where she plans to operate the Studio by Kids and Canvas. Art studio hours would be 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to midnight Friday and Saturday, and from 1 to 7 on Sunday. Alcohol service would be the hours would be the same. Black & Decker Property Management Limited requested and received unanimous approval for a request for initial zoning of regional retail on a 9.492-acre tract at the intersection of South Fairgrounds Road and Garden City Highway. The site is currently in the process of being annexed into Midland city limits. Black & Decker proposes developing a quick-trip auto and diesel fuel service station on the acreage. Schumann Engineering received approval of its request to replat lots at South Jefferson and East Florida Avenue into two lots. MDC continues partnership with Motran for road development by Mila McEwen. Coalescing support around road infrastructure in the Permian Basin was the focus of Monday's monthly board meeting of the Midland Development Corp. Board members approved letters of public comment supporting the Unified Transportation Plan and Texas Department of Transportation's build grant applications. John Trischetti III, MDC Executive Director, said the Permian Strategic Partnership put together with state representatives Tom Craddock and Brooks Landgraf and other legislators, as well as other taxing entities, the letters to offer support around road projects in advance of next year's session of the Texas legislature. This is certainly in line with where the MDC committed funds, not just for Midland, but Odessa and the Permian Basin as well. It falls in line with the direction we are already moving, said Trischetti. Motran Alliance President James Beecham told board members the funding for Permian Basin projects under the Unified Transportation Plan have been a major project for us in the last couple of years. The UTP and the revisions we see for this year and last year, most of this is programmed for 2024 to 2029. There's a lot we won't see the benefits of additional funding for today, tomorrow, or even next year. They're a little further out, but it is important. He pointed out that just as the region has received $600 million in funding for road projects in 2020 and 2021, there still remains a $500 million funding gap, making it important that the region continue pushing for funding for 2023-24 during the next legislative session and also for more funds from TxDOT. Bringing Interstate 14 through Midland-Odessa to connect the Permian to Louisiana and Mississippi and beyond to ports in Georgia, and Interstate 27 through Lubbock and then Midland-Odessa to connect with Laredo are important for the area's economic development, Beecham said. Other critical infrastructure needs the Alliance is working to address are Wi-Fi broadband and air travel. Following his presentation, board members voted to approve a resolution continuing an economic development agreement between the MDC and Motran, in which MDC will pay Motran $137,000, down from $145,000 last year, to work on infrastructure development. Sarah Harris, MDC Director of Operations, reported that 23 applications had been received for the organization's Small Business Assistance Program as of the end of business July 31st. Two more have subsequently been received for a total of 25. Of that, she said, two have been qualified for the program. Sixth nurse charged in inmate's death at Midland County Jail by Caitlin Randall, C-R-A-N-D-L-E, at MRT.com. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and District Attorney's Office reported the arrest of the sixth and final nurse charged in connection with the death of an inmate at Midland County Jail in July 2019. Esther Ihediwa was arrested on Monday, according to a joint press release from Sheriff David Kreiner and District Attorney Laura Nodolf. Adeola Adesome, Liliana Carey, Kelly Robbins, Timothy Forbes Jr., and Flora Strada were arrested last week. All six have been charged with criminally negligent homicide, manslaughter, and tampering with a government record. A grand jury returned indictments for the individuals on July 15th, following a year-long investigation by the Texas Rangers. The inmate, 30-year-old Savian Hall, was arrested on June 21st, 2019, for an alcohol or drug offense, according to a custodial death report filed with the Texas Attorney General's office. He died on July 19th, 2019, a week after he was transferred to the hospital because of low oxygen levels. Hall had a known medical condition that affected his breathing and was receiving breathing treatments, according to the custodial death report. Estrada was the first to be arrested, and a copy of her indictment was obtained by the Reporter-Telegram Friday morning. Estrada allegedly failed to maintain proper medical records pertaining to Hall's treatment, resulting in his death, her indictment states. She also allegedly made a false entry on Hall's treatment flow sheet, which would detail the date and time of any drugs administered. Hall was receiving a nebulizer treatment, according to Estrada's indictment, but it does not specify what drug he was receiving or provide information about his illness. Estrada, Forbush, and Robbins are being held in the county jail on $250,000 bonds. Bond information for Adesome and Ahidiwa was not yet available. Okeri was arrested in Big Spring. All six were contracted nurses and not county employees, according to Nodolf. Report shows Midlanders still staying away from public spaces by Caitlin Randall. The latest Google Mobility report shows Midlanders are still visiting public spaces less than they were before the pandemic began. Google used cell phone location histories to track how often individuals visit different locations. The company has been releasing mobility reports monthly to help residents gauge a community's response to the pandemic. A report released July 27th shows Midlanders are going to some locations more than they were at the start of the pandemic, but all visits to public places are significantly below the baseline, which represents pre-pandemic averages. The report shows Midlanders are going to their workplaces less than they were at the start of the pandemic, likely either because of layoffs or more companies transitioning to working remotely. There were 32% fewer visits to workplaces over the last month, compared to a 25% decrease in April. More residents are also choosing to avoid grocery stores and pharmacies, according to the report. Visits to grocery stores and pharmacies were down 22% from the baseline, the highest percentage drop for those stores throughout the entire pandemic. Visits to retail and recreation locations were on par with numbers from May, with there being a 22% decrease to visits in those locations compared to baseline. The only location Midlanders are visiting more than they were pre-coronavirus pandemic is parks. Visits to parks are up 17% from the baseline, which might be attributed to outdoor recreation being considered a generally safe activity. Despite there being over 1,000 more confirmed cases in Ector County, mobility there is about the same as Midland County, according to a report. In Ector County, visits to retail and recreation locations are down 23%. Visits to grocery stores and pharmacies are down 18%, and visits to workplaces have decreased by 35%. Residents of Midland and Ector counties are visiting some locations less than Texas as a whole, according to the report. Texans statewide are visiting retail and recreation locations 17% less than they were pre-coronavirus, and grocery stores and pharmacies 11% less. Retail and recreation locations include restaurants, shopping centers, theme parks, and movie theaters, according to the report. The report also shows Midlanders gathered less in public spaces over the July 4th holiday than they were in previous years. Visits to parks dropped to about 20% below the baseline on July 4th, and visits to retail and recreation locations dropped about 50%. Local and state news for August 4th, 2020. City reports 184 coronavirus cases from the weekend by Stuart Doreen. The Midland Health Department report on Monday was the largest number of coronavirus cases so far during the pandemic at 184. The number of cases represent a total from the weekend, but was nearly double last weekend's total of 94 and was more than any total from any weekend, including the four-day July 4th weekend, when officials reported 155 cases. The new confirmed cases bring the total during the pandemic to 2,363, and that includes 1,264 Midland County residents who have recovered. According to health department officials, there are 749 residents self-isolating and 44 who have died. The Texas Department of State Health Services is requiring local health departments to switch to a new software for reporting case numbers. Once the Midland Health Department completes the transition, more numbers will be available. Cases on Monday, 184. Total cases, 2,362. Odessa hospitals prepare surge plans for testing once school opens by J.C. Lewis. JACY.LEWIS at HurstNP.com. Medical Center Health System CEO and President Russell Tippin said MCH and Odessa Regional Medical Center have been in contact with Ector County ISD, Odessa College, and the University of Texas Permian Basin about the hospital's role in assisting them with testing once school resumes. As far as the school district is concerned, they have a good plan in-house with their own nurses about how they will handle that until it gets higher when it requires our help, Tippin said. ORMC CEO and President Stacy Brown said the hospital has also been participating in those meetings as a group. The district has announced it will begin school on August 12th. ECISD announced most students will begin the year in remote learning. For more information about ECISD and reopening schools, visit ectorcountyisd.org. Clinics offer coronavirus test. Midland Memorial Hospital, call 68-NURSE or go to midlandhealth.org. Mobile testing center at West Campus for COVID-19. Must call for appointment. Antibody testing at West Campus or Main Campus Direct Access 68-NURSE or 221-1111. The cash price for antibody testing is $50. Signature Care, 699-2601, ercare24.com, /Midland. Cash price for COVID-19 nasal swab and PCR test is $175. Cash price for antibody test, visit plus test, is $175. Cash price for both COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR, and antibody is $300. If patients are insured, we'll need to pay copay. Rest will be billed to insurance. Copay waived for first responders. West Texas Urgent Care at 3401 Greenbrier Drive, 201-1403, phone, and westtexurgentcare.com. Cash price for virtual visit for COVID, $75. Cash price for nasal swab, PCR test, $70. Cash price for COVID-19 antibody test, $50. All COVID-19 testing must begin with a virtual visit. Steward Medical Group, COVID-19 testing, swabs by appointment only, complete care at 1701 North Loop 250 in Midland, phone 522-5033. Idea Travis to have on-campus option by Stuart Doreen, sdoreen@hurstnp.com. Idea Public Schools said Monday it will open Idea Travis Academy on August 11th with students on campus and online. Idea Travis Academy is an in-district partnership between the Charter and Midland ISD, and while the students are still Midland ISD students, the in-district Charter campus has certain autonomy that doesn't exist with other campuses inside the district. That autonomy allows a different start date in how Idea is dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. Choice is how Idea officials describe the opening of the Travis campus in Southeast Midland. Idea Travis will be starting the year offering parent choice for either online or in-person learning, said Jennifer Flores, Idea's communication manager. MISD decided to partner with Idea Public Schools to take over Travis, which had one of the longest failing streaks in the state. The partnership gave Midland ISD and the Midland community another option when it came to Travis's future. Other options were allowing the Texas Education Agency to take over the campus, or moving the student population to other campuses, renaming the school, and starting with a new student population like had been done with the current General Tommy Franks, formerly Crockett, campus. Idea Public Schools reported last month the number of students registering for the first year of Travis was around 800, and almost 500 of those students attended Travis last year. Last year, IDEA officials agreed with local business and philanthropic officials to start up to 10 campuses in Midland, Odessa. As of right now, IDEA Travis is the only in-district partnership. Local news briefs. July weather report. Average high of 100.2 degrees. Average low, 74.7. Average temperature, 87.4. Typical average for July, 82.1 degrees. Hottest high, 111 on July 14th. Days at or over 105 degrees, 7. Days over 100 degrees, 16. Precipitation, 0.01 inch. Normal rainfall in July is 1.82 inches. The highest average wind speed was 15.6 miles per hour on July 14th. The highest maximum sustained wind speed was 35 miles an hour on July 1st. Highest gust speed was 41 miles an hour on July 1st and 2nd. Driest Julys, 1946, 0 inches. 2011 Trace, 2001 Trace, 1983 Trace, 1980 Trace, 1954 Trace, and now 2020 at 0.01 inch. Gas prices. Midland Odessa gas prices have fallen 2.7 cents per gallon in the past week, averaging $2 a gallon on Monday, according to Gas Buddy's daily survey of 156 stations. Gas prices in Midland Odessa are 4.6 cents per gallon higher than a month ago and stand 57.7 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. The following are historical gasoline prices in Midland for August 3rd, going back 10 years. 2019, $2.57 a gallon. 2018, $3.03 a gallon. 2017, $2.16 a gallon. 2016, $1.97 a gallon. 2015, $2.47 a gallon. 2014, $3.44 a gallon. 2013, $3.51 a gallon. 2012, $3.35 a gallon. 2011, $3.67 a gallon. And 2010, $2.74 a gallon. Tax-free weekend begins Friday. School will be starting later this month, and that means it's time for back-to-school shopping. The sales tax holiday in Texas is Friday through August 9th. Items that qualify as tax-free include most clothing, footwear, school supplies, and backpacks. Purchases can be made in-store or online, according to the State Comptroller's Office. For more information and a complete list of items that may be purchased tax-free, go to comptroller/texas.gov. Doug Russell Pool is open today. The city's pools, Doug Russell and Washington Family Aquatic Center, are open on alternating days during this coronavirus pandemic. Doug Russell is open today for 2 3-hour sessions, noon to 3 and 4 to 7. Passes are $3 and go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before opening. Passes are good only for the day of purchase. Want to escape to Big Bend during the pandemic? Do you want to escape from current life during the pandemic? Do you own an RV, or have you ever wanted to live and work in the mountains of Big Bend National Park? The National Park has an opportunity for those seeking such an escape. The park has an opening for a volunteer campground host at Chisos Basin Campground, according to a job posting. The volunteer position is 32 hours a week, and the host must furnish their own trailer or mobile home and live at the campground. Electrical, water, and sewer hookups are provided free of charge, and cost of propane charges are reimbursed, according to the posting. The primary duties and responsibilities are to help National Park Service personnel ensure campers have a safe, enjoyable visit and that campers are aware of campground rules and regulations. The host would need to be able to answer visitors' questions concerning daily park activities such as walks, talks, and tours, the park's resources and trails, points of interest, and also recreational activities. Also, the volunteer would help park ranger by picking up litter around the campground. For more information or to apply, go to bit.ly/3fqnekz. From the opinion page for Tuesday, August 4th, guest view from the Dallas Morning News. UIL should be prepared to delay prep sports further. Like many Americans, we had hoped that with proper precautions, sports could resume at the pleasant distraction they have as the pleasant distraction they have long been in our lives. Whether pro, college, or high school, the games our athletes play are important to many of us. They bring us joy and, too often in Dallas lately, sadness. They give us something to share with one another that matters, but with the worrisome restart of Major League Baseball and the obvious problem that case counts and communal spread are nowhere near under control, it's time, especially for high school sports, to be prepared to continue to delay seasons. The University Interscholastic League has postponed Class 6A and 5A football and volleyball for 5 weeks to September 7th, with other sports teams and lower classes remaining as scheduled for August. With these schedule changes came the league's announcement of its risk mitigation guidelines, which include the following. Parents must ensure that they do not send a student to participate in UIL activities if the student has COVID-19 symptoms, as listed in the document, or is lab confirmed with COVID-19. We are concerned about this guidance for two reasons, as many youths and others are asymptomatic when they contract the virus. Relying on symptoms to raise the flag of infection is a poor choice. Additionally, many families do not have the resources to get their children regularly tested like Major League Baseball. And even with constant testing, the organization is experiencing an outbreak. We know that cross-country travel is involved in Major League Baseball, therefore making it riskier, but since there is still travel involved in Texas high school sports, and since the UIL has no testing procedures in place, outbreaks are all but inevitable, as the virus is still rampant in our state. Also, the UIL should not permit schools to allow spectators at 50% capacity. Gathering right now, even at reduced capacity, is too risky. We don't say this lightly because we know how important it is for young athletes to have their families watch them in person and how important it is to families to be able to experience the games. But the direction of the disease at this point just doesn't warrant the risk. One final concern to point out, the UIL did not specify planning around what happens if a team has infection. Will games be canceled or will a season end due to positive COVID-19 cases? What is the limit on infections before games are canceled or forfeited? One sick player? Multiple sick players? It is unclear in the UIL's current plans, yet should be specified. Calling for the cancellation of sports altogether is something we are reluctant to join in. We are sensitive to the importance of sports for many student athletes and their families. Understanding that these young people have dedicated themselves to their games and that some need the season if they are to fulfill dreams of playing in college. But at this point, given where we stand with communal spread, the UIL should be prepared to delay and further delay the fall sports season while also working to write stronger and clearer policies. We hope our kids can play again soon, but the health of the broader community needs to come first. Dallas Morning News. Obituaries and death notices for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. David G. Luna. David G. Luna went home to be with the Lord on Saturday, August 1st, 2020. He was born July 14th, 1955 in Artesia, New Mexico. David is survived by his wife of 36 years, Norma Natera Luna, daughter Brenda Luna of Midland, Texas, grandson Giovanni J. Meza, and granddaughter Camilla L. Sanchez. David is also survived by his brothers Frank Luna and John Luna, sisters Dora Gonzalez, Elvira Portillo, Elva Hinojos, Maggie L. Herrera, and Mary Jane Luna, along with each of their families. A rosary will be held at 7 p.m. Wednesday, August 5th, 2020 at the Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Chapel. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, August 6th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Death notices. Alberto Juarez, 86, of Midland, passed away Saturday, August 1st, 2020. Funeral mass is set for Tuesday, August 4th at 9 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. He is survived by his wife, Maria Elena Juarez, two sons, Alonzo Juarez and Luis Juarez, and four daughters, Martha Juarez, Christina Acosta, Carla Flores, and Johanna Rodriguez, 14 grandchildren. Danny George Cardenas. Danny George Cardenas, 75, of Odessa, passed away July 31st, 2020. He was born to Joe and Dorothy Cardenas on February 25th, 1945, in Raton, New Mexico. Guillermo Barbosa. Guillermo Ortiz Barbosa of Stanton passed away Friday, July 31st, 2020. Visitation will be held Tuesday, August 4th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel. Funeral services will be held 11 a.m. Wednesday, August 5th, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church with Father Michael officiating. Interment will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, August 6th at St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery in Lemming, Texas. Guillermo leaves to cherish his memories. His wife, Antonia Olivas, daughters, Anna Almaguer, Joanne Webb, and sons, Adam Barbosa, Hector Barbosa, and Robert Barbosa. One sister and one brother. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, the services will be family only. Arrangements are under the direction of Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel. John Adam Ellsworth Boswell. John Adam Ellsworth Boswell, 49, of Midland, passed away August 1st. Rosary will be held 7 p.m. Thursday, August 6th at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Memorial services will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, August 7th, 2020, at Mid-Cities Community Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at npwelch.com. Terry Jacobs, 72, of Midland, passed away August 2nd, 2020, at Midland Memorial Hospital. The family will receive friends from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, August 6th, 2020, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Services will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, August 7th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, front page. Five Dead Since Friday by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin reported that five people have died at MCH from COVID-19-related complications since Friday, during the Monday COVID-19 virtual hospital briefing. He said that two patients died Friday, one patient died on Saturday, one patient died on Sunday, and one patient died on Monday. Tippin reported that out of 1,111 positive tests, 33 patients are in the hospital, 12 are on the 7th central isolation floor, 10 patients are on the 8th central isolation floor, 11 are in the critical care unit, and 6 of them are on ventilators. Of the 33 patients, 2 are from Siena Nursing and Rehabilitation, 1 is from Focused Care at Odessa, 2 are from Andrews, 1 is from Monahans, 1 is from Stanton, 2 are from Pecos, and 1 is from Kermit. 45 tests are reportedly pending. Odessa Regional Medical Center Hospital President Stacy Brown reported that out of 1,899 tests, 337 people have tested positive, 1,556 have tested negative, and 6 tests are pending. 13 patients are in the hospital at ORMC, 10 are in the ICU, 3 are on a designated floor, and 7 of the ICU patients are on ventilators, she said. We did also have 2 deaths over the weekend. Both of those were from outside Ector County, she added. Tippin and Brown both said they have been in touch with ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray, as well as Odessa College and UTPB, to prepare for the reopening of school. We've been in touch with Scott and with Odessa College and UTPB, with all the education entities in town, just to talk about hospitals' role in assisting them when somebody or a group gets sick or comes up sick, and how we'll communicate with each other and how that's going to work, Tippin said. Tippin said that the school district has a pretty good plan with their own nurses on how they will respond to COVID-19 until they require hospital assistance. County Commissioner Eddie Shelton gave a breakdown of how last Friday's data compared to the week before during the briefing. There's 49 deaths, which is 14 deaths over the last week, he said about last week's data. He said that 39 of those deaths were at a hospital, 6 were in a nursing home, 3 were at their home, and 1 was out of the county. The Ector County Health Department has struggled to get the website containing local COVID-19 data updated by their given 5:30 p.m. daily deadline, and on last Thursday, the website detailed 7 new deaths. The Ector County Health Department Director Brandy Garcia reportedly told local news media that sending out press releases in real time regarding patient deaths would be too demanding. Shelton responded to questions from the media about the timeliness of the Ector County Health Department, saying, "All of this is due to the difficulties in gathering information and making the reports available, so we hired more people, flooded the thing with staff, and the numbers just keep rising, and information just keeps getting harder and harder to get." They changed the reporting period to 5:30 p.m. every day, he added, so the health department feels that one report is sufficient. The health department updated their website by their deadline on Monday, detailing that out of 3,409 total COVID-19 cases in the county, 2,360 are confirmed positives, 1,049 are probable positives, and 906 positive cases are listed as active on the website. The ECHD website showed that Ector County has a 19.6% positivity rate, while the state is at 13%. 51 Ector County residents have died from COVID-19-related complications, and 2,452 people have reportedly recovered from the coronavirus. The website also showed that 46 COVID-19 patients are currently hospitalized, with 24 on ICU and 13 patients on ventilators. More local COVID-19 data can be found on the county website at https://tinyurl.com/wbvll46. Commissioners undertake budget. OA News at OAOA.com. Facing straitened circumstances owing to the COVID-19 pandemic, Ector County Commissioners today will start deliberations on their 2020-21 budget, with a drop in revenues expected to dim departments' horizons. The court will convene at 8:30 a.m. in the County Administration Building at 1010 East 8th Street, and may recess and reconvene as Judge Debbie Hayes and the four commissioners deem necessary, Hayes said in a news release. Hayes last week presented her plan for $67.1 million in general fund expenditures. It was an increase from the current fiscal year's $66.5 million, but Precinct 3 Commissioner Dale Childers said he and Commissioners Eddie Shelton in Precinct 1, Greg Simmons in 2, and Armando Rodriguez in 4 will make alterations before the budget is adopted in September. With the new fiscal year beginning on October 1st, Hayes proposes increasing the Sheriff's Office from $9,491,789 this year to $9,585,704 next year, lowering the expanded detention center's funding from $13,744,277 to $13,502,524, increasing the district clerk's office from $1,719,670 to $1,735,710, lowering the district attorney's office from $3,610,341 to $3,507,778, decreasing the county clerk's office from $1,492,223 to $1,448,390, increasing the county attorney's office from $1,835,317 to $1,943,794, and decreasing the tax assessor collector's office from $925,097 to $905,699. Now earning $60,218 and $119,334 per year, respectively, the commissioners and judge would make the same next year under Hayes' plan. Walmart shooting victims remembered 1 year later, by Brianna Vargas and Joel Angel Juarez, the Texas Tribune. On August 3, 2019, confessed mass shooter Patrick Cruzius killed 23 people at a Walmart in El Paso after driving more than 650 miles from Allen, a suburb in North Texas. A racist manifesto, allegedly written by Cruzius, who is white, described the attack as a response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas. A year later, the people of a city still racked with grief marked the anniversary with vigils, remembrances, and demonstrations. Tribune photographers Brianna Vargas and Joel Angel Juarez visited the community and recorded what they saw. A memorial, El Paso Strong, honoring the victims of the Walmart shooting at Ponder Park in El Paso. Joel Angel Juarez, the Texas Tribune. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 3,409. Ector County negative, 13,141 out of 16,880 tested, with 330 pending. 51 deaths. Recovered, 2,452. Active, 906. Midland County, 2,179 confirmed cases with 33 deaths. Texas, 442,014 confirmed with 3,834,586 tested. Total Texas deaths, 7,016. U.S. cases, 4,649,102 total confirmed and 154,471 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Closing prices. Posted $37.50. Futures $41.01. Natural gas $2.101. Benchmark U.S. rose 74 cents to $41.01 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Permian Basin weather. 5-day Odessa and Midland forecast. CBS 7, your eye on West Texas. Weather information brought to you by Craig Stewart, Tom Tiefertiller, Lauren Bostwick. Today, mostly sunny with south winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. High 106, low 76. Wednesday, mostly sunny with south winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. High 104, low 77. Thursday, mostly sunny. High 103, low 75. Friday, mostly sunny. High 102, low 76. Saturday, mostly sunny. High 101, low 75. New Mexico outlook. Hobbs, mostly sunny. High 102, low 72. Ruidoso, mostly sunny, high 92, low 66. Fact, on this date in 1961, Spokane, Washington reached an all-time record high of 108 degrees. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. Page 2, read. First, we have a photo. In appreciation, Raul Lopez and Maria Contreras with Southwest Heritage Credit Union recently treated the Ector County Sheriff's Office to donuts. Courtesy photo. This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. OAOA.com. Affidavit details man started bathroom fire with lighter he bought from same gas station. OA News at OAOA.com. A City of Odessa affidavit detailed that a 23-year-old man started a fire in a gas station bathroom after he purchased a lighter from the same gas station. Ryan Lara was charged with arson, a second-degree felony. The reported arson happened around 10:48 p.m., June 21st, at the Pilot Travel Center, located at 4200 West Highway 302, a City of Odessa fire marshal's affidavit stated. The fire reportedly started on the toilet paper holder in a stall in the men's restroom. The fire damaged the holder and the wall of the stall. The men's restroom had smoke damage. The manager of the gas station stated that they had security cameras throughout the building. The manager stated that a man, later identified as Lara, had been in the store for some time. The manager continued to explain that Lara ordered food and sat and ate his food. The manager also reportedly detailed that Lara went to the bathroom, came back out, bought lighter, and then went back into the restroom prior to leaving the building. The manager stated that a few minutes later, smoke was visible from the restroom. On July 17th, the fire marshal's office received video from the store's security cameras, the affidavit stated. The video showed that Lara entered the restroom both times and bought a lighter. The video also showed Lara was the only person in the restroom prior to the fire, and that no one else entered or exited the restroom again after he left until the smoke was visible from the restroom. The video also showed that Lara caused damage to cases of water located outside the restroom and stole a blanket as he exited the store. Pictures of the man were sent to Odessa Crime Stoppers on July 29th, and a tip was received that same day. The tip stated that the man, Lara, and was identified by his Facebook page. After looking at the Facebook page, the fire marshal's office was able to see the tattoo on his arm was the same as the man in the video. Lara also had the same hair and goatee. Lara was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He was booked into jail on July 30th, had one bond for $25,000, and posted bail on July 31st, jail records show.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.